Welcome everybody, this is Shiur number 53, Chof Aleph Sivan, Tavshin Samech Zayin. We are holding at a new point by the first of the five Halalukas. But before we begin the Halaluka, let's go to the end of Ashrei. Page 32, line number 18 in the blue, our scroll, Chaim Shlom HaSholem Siddur. Or to those who know the Ashrei by heart, the last stanza of Ashrei. And the Pasuk says, V'anachnu nivorech ko mi'ato v'ad oilom haleluka. V'anachnu, but we, nivorech ko, will bless God mi'ato v'ad oilom, from this time until eternity, haleluka. Now just like Ashrei begins on page 31, line number 12, with the first three lines over there, 12, 13, and 14, that is not from Ashrei itself. That is not from that capital of Tehillah the David. We discussed it's from a different part of Tehillim. So too does the paragraph, does the tefillah of Ashrei, it ends with V'anachnu nevarech ko me'ato ve'ad oilom haleluka. Is also not part of the Tehillah LeDavid. And why is that? Why did Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, why is it that they instituted to take a pasuk from the Tehillim specifically from the Hallel HaGadol, from the Hallel that we say on Rosh Chodesh, which will come with Hashem this week? Why did they place it right over here? That's the question. And as we explained, that Ashrei, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Dalet on Beis tells us, Ashrei, is we are told that one who recites Ashrei three times a day, there's a promise, haftacha, is a promise this person will have a share in the world to come. That's what we're all here for. This world is the hallway. We want to get to the palace. We are told by saying Ashrei properly, we're not getting to the explanation of it now, that was a few weeks ago, by saying Ashrei properly, one is promised a share in the world to come. For that, we complement the Ashrei, and we end the whole entire Ashrei with V'anachnu nevarech ko. And as for us, we will bless God, me'ato, now, v'ad oilom, forever and ever. This is that promise that we said that Ashrei gives us. Ashrei tells us if you are said three times a day, you will be saying praise, my praise in the world to come. That is me'ata now v'ad olam, forever and ever, for all eternity. And that's why Ashrei is placed specifically over here. This v'anachnu nevarech ko at the end of Ashrei, as well as the last word, which we end the whole Ashrei Tefillah with, and that is Halleluka. The Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin tells us that there are 10 different praises, 10 different words of praise to praise God with, that are stated in Tehillim. And the Gemara lists all of them. And the greatest of them all, which one is that? Halleluka. What's the reason for that? Because it has two things. It has Hallel and Ka. It has praise, Hallel, to praise God, and Ka. It has the name of God as well. Every other praise of God has one thing. Has the praise of God. Tehillah LeDavid, a praise LeDavid. Mizmar, Maskil. But this has Halleluka. This word of Halukah has the praise and the name of God in it. It is the greatest of them all. The greatest of all the praises is Halukah. Before we continue with the next page, on page 33, number 1, line number 1, with the Halukah itself, the Beis Avraham, Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer, who was our guest speaker a few weeks ago, he has a wonderful work which I recommend to everybody, which I tremendously love. His work on Tehillim, which he wrote around 30 years ago, he told me. sure you can look in the beginning, you'll see the top right date. It's no secret. And he said, he brings over there a commentary, the Beis Avraham. And the Beis Avraham says on the words, V'anachnu nevarech ka, but we will bless God, me'ato v'ad olam, from this time until eternity, haluka. He says as follows. Sometimes we come to daven. We come to do a mitzvah. We come to fulfill God's desire. And what happens? What happens is, the old man comes there first. Who's the old man? That's a reference to the Eitz Hara, the evil inclination. He's the old man because he's been there many, many years already. And he has a lot of experience how to get a person. And he tells a person, you want to serve God? Buddy, look at that big screen over there. And you see a 3D screen. You're like in the video, because it's you. And what does he do, this Eitz Hara, this evil inclination? He puts on the show of each and every one of us on our own level, not doing what we should be doing properly. He shows us sinning. And he says, you're a sinner. You're going to come serve God, praise God. What are you doing here? He doesn't want to hear your praise. And that's what the Eitz Hara tells us. Says the Beis Avraham, V'anachnu nivarech ka, me'atov ya'adoylom haluka, but we will bless Hashem. We will bless Hashem. Every single person, every single one of us here in this room, and everybody listen to these tapes. Hashem wants to hear our praise. And we have to tell the Yetzer Hara, we're not listening to you. We have to tell that evil inclination, take care, go bother someone else. We came to the Tefillah Shir, we heard the commentary of the Beis Avraham, and we know God wants to hear us. And those sins that I might have committed, I'm doing tshuva, I'm repenting on. And I'm coming to praise my Master, my Creator, my God. That is what the Beis Avraham is telling us. V'anachnu nevarech ka, me'ato v'adoylam haluka. When I saw this commentary, this explanation, I couldn't wait till Wednesday night to share with you. We now go to page 33, line number 1. And the first of 5 paragraphs of Hallelukahs. Where can they be found in the book of Tehillim? They are the last 5 prokim, the last 5 chapters in David, in King David's work of Tehillim. Now, before we explain and try to take out some psukim and some main points from this, let's explain a little. What is this paragraph discussing? What is the point? What is David HaMelech come to tell us over here? He begins the first of the 5 of Hallelukahs with hope and encouragement for the Jewish people who are in exile. David HaMelech was afraid that through the generations to follow, we might lose hope. We might suffer, and we might forget to praise God even under the worst conditions. Incidentally, this was one of the main messages of Ashrei. One of the main messages of Ashrei was to praise God through all circumstances of our life. We said, Toiv Hashem Lakol, on page 31, line number 11, Toiv Hashem Lakol, God is good to all. V'rachamov al kol masov, His mercies are in all of His masov, His creations, His actions. Toiv Hashem Lakol, even those things which to our naked eye seem to be very incorrect, very bad. But God knows what's good for us. That was the one main message of Ashrei. Comes along David HaMelech and he continues with that theme and tells us the Jew that is in exile, the Jew that is in trouble, the Jew that is in a foreign land, he should realize that no matter what the circumstance is, he is here to realize God is with him and God will not forsake him. So that is what David HaMelech is telling us here. He's speaking to all the future exiles, to speaking to the Jewish people. Haluka, line number 1. Halali nafshi es Hashem. Halalu is to praise, ka is God. To praise God. Halali nafshi es Hashem. My soul. David HaMelech is talking to his neshama, to his soul. My soul, Hashem, will praise you. Ahalalah, line number two. Ahalalah, I will praise Hashem b'chayoy. Azamru l'lekai b'oidi. I will praise my God while I exist. David HaMelech then warns us that we might have throughout the generations different type of exiles. We have some that want to kill us physically. The Romans, Haman, the story of Purim, to wipe out all entire Jewish nation. We have some that want to destroy us spiritually. Hanukkah, the story of Hanukkah, they tell us physically you stay alive, but spiritually we want to cut you down. And then we have some exiles like we are now. For some of us in this world, we live in America. And we enjoy the pleasure, which we have to thank America for it, of the freedom of being able to dwell in their country, being able to walk here, holding a sefer in one's hand, wearing a yarmulke on one's head. We might hear once in a while drive by and say things which I've heard. I think we were talking outside in Shabbos a few weeks ago. And they sneezed, and their sneeze sounded like a Jew. I don't know. But for the most part, we enjoy freedom. Freedom to practice our religion. And David HaMelech is warning us, Al tiftechu b'nedivim b'ven adam she'en l'seshuva. Do not rely on nobles. In line number 3, do not rely on nobles nor on human beings who holds no salvation. Man has to make sure he does not rely on the freedom of America. Because if he does, what might happen is what took place in the year 1096. This coming week, God willing, we'll be benching the new moon, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Tammuz is an acronym, is the name of the new month that's coming. Tammuz is Zemanei Teshuva Mimashmishim Uboim. Zemanei Teshuva, the times of Teshuva, of repentance, Mimashmishim, you could feel them, Uboim, and they are approaching, they are coming. So that is an acronym for an explanation of what Tammuz stands for. Tammuz. Teshuva, Tammuz of Elul Tishrei. Rosh Hashanah is around the corner. Shavuos we just had, God Baruch Hashem. This place was full of people learning the whole night, and other shuls as well. The Jew lives with his cycle of time, and now we are approaching the month of Tammuz. God willing, we should not have a day of Tishrei like we've had in the past. A day of mourning, a day when we lament the fact that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. But if God forbid Mashiach does not come by that time, we'll be sitting down on the floor with a book, a sefer like this, the Kinos, and if it comes to the time when we get to number 25, we'll ask ourselves the question, we'll read the commentary, and we'll see the 25th lament is not like the previous ones, which all discuss the Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the first and second temple. This is a different one. This is the first kina which discusses the destruction of Jewish neighborhoods, the Jewish towns outside of the Beis Hamikdash, and specifically the towns of Worms, Spire, and Mainz. In the year 1096, during the First Crusade, when the people of those neighborhoods were brutally killed and tortured, and in the Sefer Seder HaDoira, it's written by Rabbi Chiel Halperin Zatzal, of blessed memory, he records from the Sma. He records from the commentary of the Sefer Meiris Einayim, which is found in the Shulchan Aruch. And he explains why those towns specifically suffered tremendous loss. And he said that when the Jews were granted the privilege of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, 1,000 years earlier, before that time, the people of Jewish nation, the Jewish Jews who lived in these towns, Worms, they were invited to come back to Jerusalem. And the response was, we have our Jerusalem. You could have yours. This was the response. They were comfortable. They had nice homes. The nations allowed them to live comfortably. And they became too comfortable. And explains the Sma, the Sefer Mira Seinayim, that the pogroms and the crusades attacked them tremendously and terribly. And that is what a similar point took place, as we know, unfortunately, in Germany, when they began to call Berlin Little Jerusalem. So warns David HaMelech, King David warns us over here in this capital, in this paragraph. Al tiftechu v'nedivim. He says, don't trust the nobles. The venadam she'ein lois yeshua, with man, then man, the salvation will not come out of man. Yes.
Sorry. You're saying that just as mines and worms and the other one were destroyed because they disregarded Yerushalayim, we are now saying that the German Jews were destroyed along with the Polish Jews, and the rest of the Jews were destroyed because they didn't feel those. What?
If you take a look in here, you'll see afterwards. Beautiful explanations. But the main point is that they became too complacent. No one here, by the way, is coming to explain why the Holocaust took place.
But they have explained why they were destroyed. Those cities were destroyed.
They are making a connection between the fact that when a person says, this is our Jerusalem, that's a great mistake. Not to become too complacent, to say, we don't need our real Jerusalem. We don't need our Beis HaMikdash. That's the problem. That's the point of
what about the Jews of America?
Other problems here. Now we are living through a spiritual Holocaust. When the assimilation rate is even worse than what Hitler wanted to do. That's what's taking place right now. But that's enough for now. Okay, let's continue. And on that note of not putting our trust in man, I'd like to just share one quick story I've mentioned in the past. We have some new members of our shir, of our class over here. Baruch Hashem, we should continue to grow. And the story goes back a few years ago, maybe around 10 years ago, I don't remember exactly. Every yeshiva bachur, you know, could use a few dollars in his pocket. I was one of those yeshiva bachurim. I was learning yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, my parents always did and always do give me whatever I need. But you don't want to ask your parents. And I went to my father. And I was davening mincha. And I said, Hashem, I need a few dollars. Now, I used to sit in my yeshiva in Chaim Berlin, all the way up front. If anybody knows the Beis Medrash, I should have brought a picture in, you can see. It's around twice the length of this room right here. So, I finished davening mincha. I was walking backward, walking out. I was about to exit the door. I was probably like right by the hallway of leaving the Beis Medrash. My friend put his hand on my shoulder. He says, Uri, I have a catering job, a kiddush, this Shabbos. Would you like to work for me? And I just davened to my father. And Hashem said, this is now the time. Al tiftechu v'nedivin tells us David HaMelech, don't trust the nobles, but v'nadam, the common folk, the people. Put all the trust in God. The main lesson of this capital, this chapter here, is to teach Israel, to teach the Jewish nation this point, to put total trust in Hashem. When a person says, you know what, we'll go 50-50. I'll put 50% of trust in God and 50% of trust in my boss. It doesn't work that way. And then we come to Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezrai Sivroi Al Hashem Aleikov. The chapter ends line number 5 first. Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezrai. Fortunate is what? Is that the God of Israel is the God of Yaakov. We'll have to ask the question, which we'll come back to it. What happened to Avraham? What happened to Yitzchak? Why is it only the God of Yaakov over here? The emphasis is to place total trust in only Hashem. And then the chapter ends that if we merit this strong faith and this emunah, belief in God and Hashem, then eventually we'll be redeemed permanently into the land of Eretz Yisrael, and there we will praise Hashem in the praise that we've never praised Him before. To that, line number 12, Yimloich Hashem l'yaylam Elokayich tzion v'dor v'dor haleluka. Hashem shall reign forever. Elokayich tzion, your God of Tzion, v'dor v'dor, from generation to generation. Haleluka. When we make up in our mind, when we live our lifestyle, to put our total trust in God and Hashem, Hashem will redeem us. And that's what we're here for. We are here to realize it's not Bush, and it's not someone else. And Baruch Hashem, thank God, we have allies and we have friends. But we have to realize that it's not al tiftechu v'nedivim. Don't put the trust in noblemen. But in who? But in Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezrai, but in the God of Yaakov Avinu, who helped Yaakov Avinu. Now, with this little introduction, which is not so little, we can begin to dissect a little and understand what these psukim are coming to tell us. But before we do that, we come to the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, which tells us that Rav Yosi said, the great Rav Yosi told us, let it be my lot, my portion should be amongst those who finish halal every day. Which halal are we referring to? Not the halal which we will say, God willing, on Rosh Chodesh, which is this coming week, God willing. But this is the halal he's referring to. The halal of the last 5 prakim of Tehillim. The halal that we now are saying right after Ashrei. And the first of these halals is, it's like a ladder. Rav Pinkas Zatzal explained, it's like a ladder. We're climbing the ladder. Is when we are looking into ourselves, we are telling ourselves, we have to thank God. We have to thank Hashem no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation is. We have to put total trust in Hashem. Let's now begin the actual tefillah. Line number 1, page 33. Haleluka, haleli nafshi, es Hashem. Praise God, praise Hashem, O my soul. And as we said, that the Radak explains that despite the physical suffering that occurs throughout the exiles, and not even discussing the spiritual, but the physical suffering, one has to focus and concentrate that man has something, a gift that God gives him. And that is the Tzelem Elokim, the image of God. The Zohar Kodesh tells us a very understandable martial explanation that if a person takes a balloon and blows into the balloon, part of him is now in that balloon. Vayipach ba'apov, God blew into Adam. Nishmas Chaim, God blew into Adam. In every single one of us, we have a Tzelem Elokim, we have an image of God. And no matter what the physical exiles do to us, throughout all that physical suffering, we have to concentrate on the spiritual neshama, that soul that God has given us.
We're not talking about a physical, we're talking about a midas, the mirror of Hashem. What you impart is not the physical resemblance.
Well, no, not yet. We don't resemble Hashem physically. God doesn't have a nose like we do. Right. It's the spiritual aspects, right? It's the attributes, it's right. It's the Tzelem Elokim, right? The image of God. Doesn't mean his eyes, his ears. No, that's not what it means. Correct. Let's continue now to the next line. Azamra, Ahalo Hashem b'chayoy. I will praise Hashem while I'm alive. I will hymn to God, to my God, while I exist. The Malbim explains this, that we say Azamro Lelakai Ba'idi, person will sing to his God while he exists. He explains that man has two aspects to him. We're all the same in one way, and that's because we're blue, we're breathing, we're all alive. Thank God. On the other hand, there's something which is ba'oidi. Oid. Oid means something additional, more. Azamro lelokai ba'oidi. I will praise, I will sing to my God ba'oidi because I have something that no one else has. Hashem created every single one of us with the ability to sanctify His name that no one else can do, in a way that no one else can do. No matter the greatest tzaddik, the greatest righteous man in this world, the biggest Talmud Chacham, he cannot do what each and every one of us in this room are here to accomplish. No two snowflakes are the same, no two fingerprints are the same, no two souls are the same. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, there are 600,000 neshamas, souls, the Jewish souls, and we all have a portion and a place to sanctify God's name. Why is it that if one letter in the Torah is not good, is rubbed out, is incorrect, the whole entire Torah is no good? How many times do we write something and we make a little mistake, there's no whiteout around, or there's no eraser because it's a pen, and we continue? Why is this Sefer Torah puzzle? Why is it no good to use anymore? And the reason for that is because we are one. Each and every one of us together make one. But individually, we have a job here in this world that no one else could do. That's ba'aydi. We are all special in our own right. We have this elevated task that we're here to accomplish. And that's why, specifically, if we look at the word right before ba'aydi, it is the word of Elokai. God, the reverence of God's name, in which understanding? Justice. Because Hashem says, I give each and every one of you this job to do, to fulfill in this world. And if we don't fulfill our job, we will be held accountable. And that's why specifically it's Elokai. It's the Midah, the attribute of God in strict judgment. Because since we have these specific talents that no one else has, we are here to use them. And if we don't use them properly, Hashem says, we have to pay the price. Al tiv techu ben adivin. Line number 3. Al tiv techu ben adivin. Do not rely on nobles. Beven adam she'ein lo yeshua. Nor on a human being who holds no salvation. We touched on this a little. A nediv is a noble person. A noble person. A nediv, very special person. Sometimes this person will offer to do good things for us without even being asked, pull some strings, go beyond the letter of the law. However, he's human. And maybe one day someone stepped on his toe. His ingrown toenail with a toe like that. He's not so happy anymore. And we come knocking his door, and all of a sudden his mood changes. His financial situation changes. He's not all of a sudden as friendly anymore. Sounds right, huh?
Does that mean he's bipolar?
Man is a lot of things. That's why we're saying over here, Al tiftechu b'nedivim, don't trust in man. Don't put our total trust in man. We have to put our trust in Hashem. And to this we come to an unbelievable medrash explanation to what's taking place over here. Who authored most of the Tehillim? David HaMelech, King David. How long did he live for?
70 years.
70 years is right. How long was he supposed to live for?
A few,
3 hours. Where did he get his life from?
Adam.
Al tiftechu v'nedivim b'ven Adam. She'ein lo yeshua. Adam arishon. After sinning, Adam Rishon gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. And what happened was, that we know. But did we know that towards the end of his life, when he was getting a little old, approaching 930 years, he was regretting his gift to David HaMelech. And he told Hashem he wants back what he gave. He wants the gift of life that he gave, that he, this present of 70 years of life, he wants it back. And what did Hashem say to him? Look at your descendants, Yaakov Avinu, Jacob. Look how he promised and made a promise. Vayidur Yaakov Neder. Yaakov made a promise to Hashem. And he kept his promise. That if Hashem will save him, he had nothing. Eliphaz, Esav's son, came to kill him. But he had a dilemma. He grew up in his grandfather Yitzchak's lap. And Yitzchak says, we don't kill. Esav, my father, says we do kill. How do I, like in Gemara, you know, I have a contradiction. What do I do? Yeah, you should kill somebody, right? Yeah, I don't know. Yaakov tells him, Yaakov spent many years learning. Yaakov Avinu knew, and Ani is Chasha Kemes, the poor person is like he's dead. He said to him, you take everything of mine, I'll have nothing, and you'll have fulfilled your obligation to your father. Yaakov Avinu had nothing, no clothing, no food, just a stick. And he dived into Hashem and said, Hashem, if you give me beged lilboish lechem lecho, beged, the clothing to wear. And he got the clothing. The major says, I believe I saw once, that he's found a dead Egyptian soldier in the river. He found his garment and he wore it. He was makli avarti. He crossed with the stick. This stick was the same stick that later went down to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not for now. So back to Adam. Adam said, I will keep my promise. But David HaMelech was referring to, when he wrote this Tehillim, according to this explanation, he was referring to Adam. Al tiftechu v'nedivim. Don't but trust v'nedivim. Adam was going to retract his gift, and David would have no life. But who do we have to trust into? Into Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Ezroi. Specifically, the God of Yaakov. Why is it the God of Yaakov? Where is Avram? Where is Yitzchak? And that's what we just discussed. Because Yaakov Avinu, when he was in that situation, and he had nothing. He put total trust in Hashem. And he said, "My God, save me. Save me from Lavan. Save me, I have nothing, I have no food, I have no clothing." I say these words and I have food and I have clothing. So these things are very distant to me. And I have to thank God for that. What we are told in the Sefer Oilas Tamid explains that everything that we have in this world, and everything that our parents gave us, and everything that our friends gave us, and everything that we earned, and we worked for it, and we deserve that paycheck, and everything that we have, is all from Hashem. The focus is that everything comes from Hashem. And that's why it's Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Be'ezroi. Because Yaakov didn't put total trust, line number 5, total trust in Hashem. And then what happened was, Benosam Loi, Hashem gave it to him. It sounds like a risky endeavor over here. A person could go to work, you know, he thinks he's making some money, be financially secure, or have some friends, family, whatever it might be. And it's possible to forget about where everything comes from. And that's why sometimes we get that patch, we get that wake-up call. Because Hashem wants to remind us, who is giving us everything? Where is everything coming down from? Which channel? Which pipeline? Now we have some words here which are a little difficult to understand. How do they fit into our tefillah? And we're running out of time, so we'll have to go through it quickly. So that was Noisin Lechem L'Re'evim. Line number 8. God gives Lechem to the Re'evim, to the hungry. But then we come to Hashem Matir Asurim. Hashem releases the bound. Pakeach Ivrim gives light, gives sight to the blind. Zaykev Kefufim. We already davened this. We already said this already. What's going on here? Why are we saying it again? He strains out the bent. And he is Oyev, line number 10. He is Oyev Tzadikim. What are we referring to over here? We are referring to a situation that took place with the great Yosef HaTzadik. He was attacked by Ashes Potiphar, by the wife of Potiphar, and she wanted to be with him. She took, the Medrash tells us, I don't understand it very clearly, she took his neck, she placed his neck into a type of brace, which did not enable him to put his head down. And if he would cut himself, he would hit himself. She was forcing him to try to look at her. So once he would look at her, he would want to have a desire to be with her. And he still didn't look at her. And she told him, "I will throw you in jail." And his response was, "Hashem matir asurim." Hashem, line number 8, is matir asurim. You put me in jail, God will take me out. She said, "I will blind you." And he said, "God is poikeach ivrim. He opens the eyes of the blind." And she said, "I will crush you." And he said back, "Hashem is zoykev kefufim." Hashem straightens up the bent. And then he merited Hashem oyhev tzadikim. Hashem loves his righteous. Yosef HaTzadik. The title of Yosef the righteous. From that act. That is what the Medrash is telling us, the Psukim are referring to. Hashem Shoymer is Geirim, Yosoim Valmoni Yoideid. We continue with Derech Shoyim Yaves. A Ger could be a convert. We are converts. We are in a land which is not ours. We are uncomfortable. Or we should be to some degree uncomfortable. And if not, we become too complacent. And we say, "This is our home." And then we forget about our real home. Now, once again, we still have to thank America for giving us the freedom to practice our religion. We have to realize this is not the goal. When we have our Sunday barbecues, we have to realize, make your bracha. Invite your friends over. But this is not the goal. The goal is a barbecue in Yerushalayim. When the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, when those karbanos, those are burning. That's the barbecue we're looking for. Excuse me for calling a carbon barbecue. Chas v'shalom. Hashem strengthens the ger, whether it's a literal convert who might feel he doesn't have somebody. God is his father. I have to tell you something. My grandmother just came in from Eretz Yisrael today. Very quickly, we're running out of time, but I heard the name of Shalom Shadron, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, that heard in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Eli Lapian, that if a person is giving a shir and he gets in his mind a story, he should say that story. God wants him to say the story. So I'll tell you like this. My grandmother is a survivor of the destruction of Europe, of the European Jewry. She just came in today from Eretz Yisrael. She once had a flight a few years ago where they messed up her kosher food. The flight to Israel is not a flight to here to Florida. It's a long trip. And she didn't have kosher food. Now, my grandmother doesn't eat anywhere anyway, but that's a side point. My wife said to her, "Weren't you hungry?" "Well, no, what'd you do?" And what was her response? "That's what Hashem wanted. What's the question? What's the question?" My aunt, my father's sister, she tells me she has her father, she has Hashem, she has her God, and that's it. Of course, she has her immediate family. She wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning, or if not before that, she says Tehillim. I once asked her for a tefillah. They say the Satma Rav, the Satma Rebbe's atzal. Who should you go for brachas? You know, you wanted a bracha, so you go to the big tzaddikim. He said, go to survivors and you get a bracha from them. I said, great. You know, I heard that. I asked my grandma, I said, can I have a bracha? She says, what do you think I do all day for you? I'm davening all day for you. I'm telling you, I was thinking, where's the saw for my foot? But I figured, you know, why not? I'll get another bracha, why not? This is a survivor. Of course, this I have a special connection to my grandmother, special lady. This is what Hashem wanted. And she accepts it. And what is the message as we started with? The message is that if we put our trust in Hashem, then Hashem will respond like He answered the Yaakov Avinu. And the response is, Yimloich Hashem l'yoylom, Elokai yitzioi l'dor v'dor haluka. Hashem will reign forever. Elokayich, your God, O Tzion, Lador Vador, from generation to generation, Haluka. As Zechariah said, which we say 3 times a day, V'nemar Bayoy Mahu, and it will be on that day, Yahashem Echad, Ushmo Yechad. The nations of the world, we will all come to recognize, Hashem Echad, Ushmo Yechad. In the future, we'll see, God is the King over everything. He is today as well, but it will be a time when we all recognize it. Thank you.